I can tell you from bitter experience, it's not much fun being small and not able to see what you want to see. The number of concerts I've been to, and I've been stuck behind somebody who's 6'2" and 5 feet wide. It's frustrating, let's put it like that. And it's not just small people who have that problem. I've got four brothers. I'm the shortest by some distance. The next shortest is about 5'11", nearly 6 foot. Two of them went to see Derby play Chelsea in 1968. A name, a date ingrained on our memories. So they're watching Derby, and the smaller one couldn't see. 5'10", 5'11", still couldn't see. So he sat on the shoulders of my other brother, 6'1", 6'2". So he could see, but the one below couldn't see much. It's a story which is recounted with some bitterness by the brother who did the carrying. So I can sympathise with Zacchaeus. Not just because he was small, but also for the first couple of years of my life as a civil servant, I was a tax collector. I'm a kind of a ready-made illustration for this story, really. The people who come into contact with the tax office now may tell you differently. But we work very differently to Zacchaeus. For a start, we're not collaborating with an invading superpower. And secondly, when we work out taxes due, we try to base it on reality and the law. And thirdly, we don't keep the difference between what's due and what's extorted for ourselves. But that was the way that tax collectors worked in Roman times. They were collaborators. They worked a lot better than thieves in some ways, because they generally took much more than was due and kept the difference for themselves. And because of the way he worked and who he worked with, Zacchaeus was not a popular man. Not only was he a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. So the chances are, he was taking his share of the amount that people had got, that his other tax collectors had got for him. So he was quite well off. Everyone would see him getting richer and richer and richer. At their expense. And there was nothing they could do about it. Because he was working for the Romans. And then he met Jesus. In the previous chapter, Luke tells us about Jesus meeting the rich young ruler who was told he needed to give up his wealth and give it to the poor. Just as an aside, to me there's a comparison here with how some incredibly rich people in this country and around the world do everything they can to avoid paying tax, to support the services we all need. But how different it is with Zacchaeus. We tend to think of repentance as, I'm sorry, I'll try to do better. When we say sorry to God, we say, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake there, I will do better. A change of heart. But that isn't Zacchaeus' way. It isn't just a change of heart, it's restitution. It's restoration. It's making amends. And he didn't do it in a half-hearted way. He did it big time. When the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, the word that used is the one that we use for hilarious. A laughing giver. And that's almost the impression you get of Zacchaeus here. He didn't just give a little bit back. He gave half of his property to the poor. There's no suggestion that he owed the poor anything. But he gave half of his property to the poor. And anything he took dishonestly, he returned fourfold. It doesn't matter how rich you are, that is going to make a big dent in your material wealth. But that didn't matter. Because he'd found something much more valuable. Like the man who sold his field to get the pearl. He'd found Jesus. He'd found a saviour who made a difference. So, what can this tell us? The answer is quite a lot, but it doesn't always make for easy listening. Anybody can want to change. We might look at someone quite cynically and say, "You're changing." Yeah, right. But people can change. Zacchaeus did. I know when I see people and they don't, I mean, it's very much a judgmental thing. I look at them and say, how can you change? But they can. People can change. We mustn't be cynical. We need to work harder to trust that God can change even anybody. And we need to work harder to help that change to happen. Because sometimes it's all too easy for us to be so cynical that our attitude puts barriers in people's way. We mustn't do that. If people want to change, we should be helping them. So that's the first thing. Be prepared to let people change. The second thing. Jesus was more than happy to chat with and be seen with the wrong type of person. In the reading we had, that Sarah read, it said the people grumbled because he was with sinners. So Jesus was happy to be seen with the wrong type of people. How happy are we to do that? How happy are we to be with the outcasts? Not condemning them, but bringing them the love of Christ. Bringing the love of Christ close to them by the way we live our lives. Because that is an enormous challenge. There is so much need in this city. There's so much need in this country. There's so much need in this world. And you could argue till you're blue in the face that actually that's not our problem, it's the government's problem. Jesus could have argued that as well. But he sat down with the wrong type of person. And he talked with them. And he loved them. He loved them for who they were. He loved them for where they were at that moment. A guy who trained me when I was becoming a leader said the most wonderful thing. He said, God can see you for what you are, but he can also see you for what you will be. And Jesus do both. He sat down with them as they are, knowing who they could be. Next, Zacchaeus had known Jesus for an afternoon. And in that afternoon, his life was turned around and upside down. And that turnaround made a tangible difference to those around him. Can we say the same? Can we say that our knowing Christ makes a positive difference to those around us? I'm not saying that we have to give away half our property to the poor. I'm not saying we have to give back fourfold. But what I'm saying is, do people see the difference that Christ makes to us? And in seeing that, does it make a positive difference to their lives? Because all too often I know for me, that's probably not the case. They probably just say, oh, Tim, he goes to church. Fair enough. But actually it should be more than that. I should make a difference. Zacchaeus, after that afternoon, addresses Jesus as Lord. One of the other versions I read, he addresses Jesus as Master. I know that we do that when we pray. But again, do our lives show that he is Lord? That he is our Master? So there are so many challenges in this reading that when you think through it and see the difference that it has made to Zacchaeus and to those around, this is a huge challenge to us. A huge challenge, but so many plus points. Because not only has Zacchaeus found a saviour, he's found a new life. And those around have been touched by that. I want to finish by reading that psalm reading again. Because to me, it wonderfully sums up some of the things Zacchaeus must have been feeling. Happy the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Happy the one to whom the Lord imputes no guilt and in whose spirit there is no guile. For I held my tongue, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. Your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up like the drought in summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and my iniquity. I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful people make their prayers to you in time of trouble. In the great water flood, it shall not reach them. You are a place for them to hide in. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as you, as Zacchaeus found, you forgive all. You can make a difference to everyone. You can change lives in miraculous and rapid ways. Help us to expect you to change our lives. Help us not to fight that. Help us to walk with you, to walk to you. And help us to show your love to others. In Jesus' name, Amen.